We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Then came the officers with chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why don't you bring him on in? What's the matter with him? Why don't you bring him in? Why don't you arrest him?" The officers answered, "Never man speak like this man. We just couldn't. We just couldn't answer what he said, that's all. Something about his words that were different. Never anybody else spoke like that. And when he talked to us, it just somehow overcome us. We couldn't know. He's not like other men." Even though he isn't. We know that. The best man ever lived. The difference between Jesus Christ and the best man ever lived on this earth is the difference between noonday and midnight. The difference is so far. He was a man, but he was God. He was a God-man, God incarnated. He spake, and they said, "How does he know all this? He never learned. He hasn't had any university education. He has no degree, no diploma. He hasn't been in a scientific laboratory anywhere around here. And he hasn't studied all the philosophies of the world. How did he know all this stuff?" Well, there's only one answer to it. From everlasting to everlasting, he was God, that's all. He had no sin to blur his vision of what was right and what was wrong, what was false, what was true. See, he could see because he was pure, good. He turned around and said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they too shall see God." No man can see aright unless he is right. You have to be right to see right. To look at life right, you have to be right. All right, then answered the Pharisees and said, "Are ye also deceived? Has he got you too? You're not going off that crowd, are you? Oh, you are." Now, listen, religious leaders making fun of it. You know, somebody told me about a girl that went to a certain school somewhere and her faith got all shattered. And her mother wanted to come to Bob Jones University. The girl, I think, has been converted or something. I haven't got the detail clear. And this preacher said, "Oh, you're going to that fanatical place, Bob Jones University, down there where they don't smoke and do all..." He didn't say that. That's what he meant. See? You know, I'd rather be fanatical on God's side than to be fanatical on the devil's side. I went to the great Democratic Convention in New York City when Al Smith tried to take over. Sat there for days. I was fixing to go to Europe, just getting ready, and stayed several days before I left. And you never saw in your life anything like that convention. I saw judges and governors and senators and everybody else going up and down the aisles with banners. Talk about fanaticism. I know men in this country who are fanatical about making money. They're wild about that, you know. They're fanatical on that subject. I know some men who are fanatical about scholarship. They're fanatics. Well, I'd rather be a fanatic for God, if that's what you want to call a fellow that's in earnest, than to be a fanatic on the side of the devil. I sure had. You know, I'd rather be enthusiastically fanatical than to be on the other side and cold and dead and not stand for anything, not be anything or do anything. And they said, "You're not going off with him. Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?" Now, wait a minute. I want you to notice something here. "But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." See? You don't know the law, you folks here. You poor ignorant people. We've got a priesthood that's above you, you know. Chief scribe, we are superior. We are above the common level. There's no such division in the New Testament. There's no division in the New Testament between a preacher and a layman as far as his knowledge of God's concerned. No division there. There's no division in the New Testament between a businessman who's a Christian and a preacher who's a Christian. That kind of setup is not in the Bible. We read over in the book of Revelation, "Thou holdest the doctrine of Nicolaitanes." Well, in our Nicode of conquer laos laity, that's what the word means. You hold the doctrine of conquering the laity. That's what they had here, see. They said, "We are the highbrow. We know. We folks don't know anything." Well, I've known humble, faithful, consecrated country Christians that knew more spiritual things worth knowing than the greatest theologians I've ever talked to, because they were not rag-chewing, these country people, rag-chewing theologians. They walked with God, they prayed and talked to God, loved the Lord. Why, you know, some of the most wonderful insight I've ever had to the Bible has come to me from some humble saint of God, see? And they said, "You don't know anything. You were just ordinary common folks here. Your business is to pay the bills and take care of the synagogue and such as that. We run the thing. We are the wise boys." They were. And that's the crowd that double-crossed and sold out Jesus Christ. Now, I said, "But the people who know not the law are cursed." Then there was Nicodemus. You know, I can't have much respect for him. He reminds me so much of some people I know in this day and time. I ought not say that, maybe. Yes, I guess I should. You know, these characters in the Bible, they were human beings just like us, you know. You can have an opinion of them just like you have an opinion of somebody today. I always liked Peter in the Bible. He was a likable sort of an old fellow, but you know, I can't stand to think about some of the things he did. When he wouldn't go around, you know, eat with the Gentiles after, when somebody's looking at him. You can't condone that. Now, here's Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, you know, as I said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, that's the one was, does our Lord judge any man before we hear him and know what he is doing? Now, Nicodemus could have gone further. He said, nobody believes on. What an opportunity Nicodemus had to say, well, I do. What an opportunity. Now, think of it. What a chance he had there. There are these wise birds, these religious leaders, these scribes and the chief priests and all of them saying, none of this crowd believe in him. None of us, you know. We don't believe in him. And Nicodemus was ruler of the Jews. He had a higher position. And he'd been around to see Jesus one night. And he recognized that Jesus was more than a man. He said, no man could do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. He said, there's no human explanation. He had some little spiritual understanding. But what an opportunity he had. Then you remember later how he helped bury him, you know, and all that, you see. He'd hang on the outer edges of the thing, see. Just hang on a little bit. He said, well, do you judge in under our law until you hear a man? He spoke up like a wise lawyer, you know, but not like a Christian all at all. He should have spoken up and said, now, listen just a minute. You say none of us believe on him. I believe on him. I went to see him one night. I don't think he was converted. You know, I don't think he's converted. I don't think he was converted. Jesus told him he had to be and explained it to him and all that kind of situation, told him how that the Son of God would be able to save and all that kind of thing. But I don't think he had it. If he had it, he didn't have it in the backbone, see? You know, some people can have a little religion in the head, sometimes a little bit in the heart, none in the backbone, see? What we need in America is old-time religion in the backbone. That's where we're short today. You see, everybody's compromised, just like this man did here. Just go a certain distance, say, well, you know, I think maybe he's such a good man, so forth and so on. But, you know, you see, in other words, not open and frank. Oh, Nicodemus, what a chance you had. You could have spoken up there and given a testimony. It would have been here in Holy Writ with a pen of inspiration. And I'd have been reading it to the people this morning. You may be listening to me, Nicodemus. If you had, I'd like to preach you a little sermon. I hope you're in heaven. Hope you are. Maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe God Almighty takes some folks to heaven that don't have any backbone. Maybe he does. Folks down in the backbone. He slipped around to see Jesus at night when he went there, see. Around night. He didn't go in the open daylight under the noonday sun. He went around night to see Jesus. And here he is now, you know, up there with his opportunity. Oh, the waste opportunities Christians have in this world to speak out for Jesus Christ. How many opportunities they have to say a word they won't say. You know, somebody will criticize a good man that you know. You know he's a good man. They'll talk about him, and you'll sit there with your mouth shut, see. Won't say anything. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know. And then, too, I might get in trouble. I might lose a little money. I might, I got to stand in everybody, you know. I'm eager to sell it myself, you see. And there was Nicodemus. What opportunity. Nicodemus, you ought to be ashamed. That chance you had, you were a leader in Israel. And they said, none of us have believed on him. We, you folks don't know at all. Of course, you may go on if you want to, but we are authorities on the subject. We know, you see. And he said, none of us have believed on him. And then Nicodemus spoke up. He said, doth our Lord judge any man before we hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said to him, art thou also of Galilee? Hear his search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. All of them broke up and went home, see. Had an argument there. And the wise men, as they thought they were, talked, you know. Poor, hungry-hearted people went back home. While they were talking about the law and what they knew and what the others didn't know. And Nicodemus did know, because Nicodemus could have said, well, you know, he told me when I talked to him that night, a man had to be born again. Maybe we rulers of the Jews haven't been born again. Maybe that's what's the matter with us, because he said you have to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. And maybe that's what's the matter with me, and I'll take my stand for him now, let it cost what it may. Oh, what a story it have been. Did you ever stop to think of how many opportunities you and I have wasted along the way of life? where he could have said a good word for Jesus, where he could have taken our stand. Maybe it's some critical moment. Maybe some time if you just had spoken out. But you just went ahead, you know. Didn't say anything. Didn't stand for anything. Just went along the crowd. That's what's the matter with this country. Let me say it again. We need more old-time religion in the backbone in America. We have a spineless sort of a Christianity in this country. We don't stand in this country. You support anything with your tag on it, whether you believe it or not. You haven't enough conviction to stand up. And everything's a convenient thing. Everybody goes along together, you know. And first thing you know, we leave Jesus. And then we don't accomplish anything, spiritually at least. They all went home. They said, well, very interesting conference, wasn't it? That man Nicodemus there, he seems to be a nice fella. I believe he's a little friendly to this man, this miracle-working person. And the rest of them said, sure, well, mean. And they sat around home and talked and talked. Well, human nature's never changed. We have exactly the same human nature they had. Same things you can read modern literature on all the pages of the Bible. These things are all current events. They're taking place now. You had a chance to speak for Jesus yesterday and didn't do it. Somebody said that he wasn't born of a virgin. You sat there and didn't say anything. Somebody said he didn't believe in the blood of Christ, and you sat there and didn't say anything. You'd just gone ahead with the crowd, you know. You were supposed to be his friend. Nicodemus was supposed to be his friend. He was friendly to him. He was under the spell of the personality of Jesus. And what a marvelous, wonderful opportunity Nicodemus had. He wasted it. Many women, you're going to answer to God for all the opportunities you wasted. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If Nicodemus that day had stood up and said, well, friends, let it cost what it may, I'm on his side. I believe he's the Son of God. And I trust him as my Savior. And I won't take my stand. If he takes my clerical robe off of me, all right. Whatever it may cost me, and I may be cast out and all that, but I take my stand. But he didn't. It costs something to stand for Jesus Christ. Oh, you can be nominally for him. You can do what Nicodemus did here and get away with it. You can go that far, all right. An atheist could go that far and get away with that, you know. He said, this is the law. He's supposed to know the law, you know. And you can do all that and go that far. You can go a certain distance with Jesus and say nice things about him and talk about the great teacher and the master and all that. You can do all that. But that doesn't save man. Listen, men are saved when they trust Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on a cross and rose from the dead to save people. That's the only way they're saved. There's salvation in no other name. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There are not many roads, as people are saying, all leading to the same place, and there was a black alive born in hell or hatched in the satanic domain. There's only one way, and that's the Christ way, and the cross way, and the open tomb way, and the shed blood way. And that's the only way, and if you ever get there, you'll go that way. There's no other way. May God's Spirit move upon you and help you to see it. And if you're listening, you're not right with God, get right with it. For someday Jesus is going to reign, and we folks that stand for him now will be in with him then. Our Father, help all that listen today, and somebody to trust you. We commit it to thee and all the plans, and keep us faithful and keep us true, and lead us by thy Spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.